Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Coming up on today's episode, we look back at a pair of weekend jet wins against the Sabres and Yotes, plus a look around the NHL, including Line A scratched in Columbus.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, good to be back at it here. Apologies for the delay, but sometimes life gets in the way. Couldn't get an episode in on Friday, but we're back at it. Diving into some Winnipeg Jets game day action from the past weekend. We will completely ignore any football-related activities north of the border, which means everything is good here in Winnipeg, so we don't have to talk about anything else. Great. Good. Grand. How was the weekend, Tyson? CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us here once again. You actually had yourself a pretty good weekend, right?
Oh yeah, I had the minute went out to the cabin with the fellas and had a nice weekend. It was a lot of fun. Barely made it back, but we're here.
But you made it back, and I think you owe the old man a case or a bottle or something. But for those that don't know, Tyson told the old man here that as he was kind of driving back home and got back from our place a few hours away from here, just kind of threw out to him that, you know what, I think I turned the oven off, but I'm not totally sure. And he cost Andy a 2-hour trip out there to the cabin. But good to see that. I'm assuming everything's okay now because you're here in one piece. But
yes, the oven was off, but like you know, it's just that. It's like that Sunday hungover glaze, and then you're like, "Oh shoot, did I just like this? This could be bad." But it was a good thing. I still got all my wits. No serious neurological issues popping up. So we're good. We're good.
no more of those at least. So that's good. I just personally, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have just been like, you know what? Let's just hope I did the right thing. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying, like, I would have felt worse just making the old man drive out there late on a Sunday night. But hey, at the very least, he didn't have to watch the Grey Cup, so that's awesome. All right. Well, let's talk Jets instead because I don't want to be in a. I just don't want to be angry anymore. And it's late Monday night, so let's talk about something that was actually fun. And that would be back-to-back Winnipeg Jets victories, like we said there. Friday over Buffalo, Saturday over Arizona, 3 straight, 6 wins in their last 7. Now, Tyson, we'll do a bit of an overarching view of the team's play to date in our next episode later this week, because that'll officially be the American Thanksgiving mark. So we'll do kind of like a full-blown breakdown of how they've played so far. But just looking at the standings quickly, I was pretty shocked to see that the Jets' record wasn't like through 17 games, something or however many games they played right now, that it wasn't like 12-5. The record isn't even like all that great with how well they've played as of late. I was kind of blown away by that. 10-5-2 through 17 games. I would have thought like 12-5, right? Like it's pretty wild that, you know, they're, you know, not necessarily battling for a spot somewhere in the playoff mix, but just not well ahead of some of the other teams in the Central Division specifically there. But I mean, all in all, pretty much an A-plus weekend for the team. Didn't have their best game against Buffalo, but Hellebuck, I thought, you know, maybe paid them back for some of his mistakes earlier on in the season. And then against the Arizona Coyotes, once again, the top line steps to the plate, and Scheifele and Connor start to lead the way once again, and tie with Colorado for second in the division. How about that? Not too bad heading into the upcoming matchup against Tampa Bay on Wednesday.
Yeah, and even like they've finally started to get some of those like good bounces too, and that especially in that Arizona game. Like, yeah, the Vlad Namestnikov goal, Vezvelka comes out of the net kind of all over the place, and then the little skyhook from Ehlers from past the blue line. Like, it was a combination of a lot of skill plays in that one, and then just a lot of like things are going our way tonight. Like, this is because really, like, those. You take away those two goals, it's a different, I mean, it's two goals, but you take away those two, it's a totally different game. And so just having that extra, having those bounces go your way, and the way that team's playing, the way that top nine, and not even just the top nine, actually, like the whole forward group as a whole, just the way that they've been playing, and it's a cohesive style of hockey too. It's not like the top line's going out there and kind of doing their own thing. And I mean, they are, but within the system still, yeah. Too.
Like they're doing their own thing. It's great.
Playing within the system. Yeah. But they're really, and I think some of the emphasis too is that, you know, we sometimes talk about Scheifele's defensive game. And I don't think it's that he's inherently a bad defensive player. I just think that sometimes transitions more on top of the mind than making the defensive play first and using that defense to create a rush going the other way. And I think this year they're doing that a lot more. And you can just see how much more easier things can be at times when you're playing within the system, playing the right way. And I just think the way this is going, and I feel like we don't even talk about this enough, but there's no Bones. You don't have your head coach in the lineup. And obviously take as much time as you want away from the team, Bones, like you deserve it and family comes first. But it's just crazy that they're still doing this, and they've had some adversity early on too. Like last season, it was more so things are going our way right now, but everything's going our way. This season it's a little bit different. Not everything hasn't gone their way so far. And you mentioned the start where their record, that it wasn't as good as you thought it was, but I don't know the exact record they had at the start of the season, but what were they, 2-4? They might have been 1-4.
Yeah, so, under 500, yeah.
Yeah, and so you kind of erase that difficult start where there's a couple of games where they probably could have won, and they're rolling now. And I'm watching some of those Colorado games too. I don't know how – I'm a little concerned about them. I mean, and they probably have that switch that they'll flip on about halfway through the season, but right now it's not looking like Colorado's – some crazy powerhouse, and you played Dallas pretty tough. Like in that third period against Dallas, they were a couple more. If you added three more minutes in that game, I think the Jets end up tying it. So there's just a lot of positives so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only reason that they've lost to Dallas and to a lot of other teams was special teams just killed them. Right. And the special teams has stabilized a little bit at the very least, which is, I mean, with how well they've been 5-on-5, like just be average on special teams and you're going to be just fine. And that's where they are right now. And they are more, I mean, not just fine. They're more than that right now. They are absolutely rolling. And at the very least, like you mentioned Colorado there, Tyson. And again, we'll talk about this later on in the week there. They're not the team they were 2 years ago. Unless they make a pretty substantial addition at the trade deadline. Like I think they're better than the Jets, but it's not by this that they're not invincible or anything like that. And so maybe a bit of a sleepy start for them. Maybe it allows the Jets to creep in a second in the Central Division and home ice in round one for maybe a late round. Like, you know what I mean? Have game seven in Winnipeg, right? Like there's those little things that might matter by the time the end of the season comes around here. But I mean, Jets have, like, as far as team play goes, they've gone toe-to-toe with, I mean, Vegas is the only team that's really kind of outclassed them so far, I thought. But other than that, they've taken it to a lot of really good teams so far this season. and even a couple tricky opposition matchups on the weekend there. I mean, Buffalo's always dangerous. Buffalo played pretty damn good, actually. And then Arizona's, I mean, way better than they were last year, and maybe better than a lot of us gave them credit for going into the season here. It was also nice to see Karel Vemelka not end up with a 970 save percentage after a game against Winnipeg. So I did enjoy that. And yeah, more of the Nemestikov bank one in off Vemelka and the D-man there the next time the Coyotes face off against each other. I could do with a couple more plays like that. But I'm really amazed, shocked in a sense, at how and Scheifele and Connor deservedly have been unbelievable, but it really feels like a complete team effort. Like every time, no matter who's out there, the Jets are dangerous. There's no passengers right now. Everybody's rolling. You get contributions all over the place. It just makes it so much easier to win hockey games, right? Than to lean on, no matter how good your top guys are, than to lean on them night in, night out. And I mean, even Nate Schmidt took a bunch of flack early on this season, but I mean, Schmidt and Sandberg have been outstanding together on the third pair for the Jets. I mean, you could say the same with Dillon and Pionk. They've been really, really steady and given the Jets, I think, all you could have hoped for with those two being the second pair right now. And we've talked ad nauseum about how great basically everybody up front has been for the majority of the season so far. It's for the first time in a long, long time, maybe ever, it's no passengers here in Winnipeg, and you can pretty much throw everybody out there for 10 plus minutes a night, and there's no real complaints. It's just relentless every time anybody goes over the boards there. And I mean, especially here in Winnipeg, people are going to love that, but it's going to pay dividends too down the stretch, right? Like to not play some of your top guys insane amounts of minutes that kind of, you know, carry over as the season progresses. It's just been really, really fun and enjoyable to watch. And, you know, we talked about the tickets being empty and the arena being empty earlier on in the season here. Maybe people being hesitant about what kind of team we're going to be getting. They play like this. It's kind of a fun team to cheer for, a fun team to watch. I honestly could have seen this team play good this year, Tice, but I don't know if I would have said this is a fun team to watch and somebody that I can get behind. And that's what they are right now. They're an enjoyable watch. They're one of the more complete teams in the league right now.
Yeah, they are. They just are. Like this is exactly the kind of start that you wanted to. Like this seems like a new era of Jets hockey too. So to start it on the first year off on this kind of, it's just that I feel like there's almost a weight lifted off of a lot of people this offseason. Maybe even two weights. I don't know. I'm not going to name names, but
yeah,
but it is, it's just different. You could tell that the leadership from the leadership group has really oozed in, and it all starts from the top when it comes from the team. And that's Adam Lowry kind of setting the tone for this team. And I think guys are just kind of buying in and ready to follow him and play that style of hockey. And I even think that Scheifele too has taken, you've mentioned a lot of times that as the Jets go, Mark Scheifele goes. Or sorry, as Mark Scheifele goes, the Winnipeg Jets go. And that's what's happening right now too. He's really starting, him and Connor are making plays left and right. And it makes winning games that much easier when you can almost rely on at least one goal a game from that top line. And then it's like, all right, we can pot two more, and we got one of the best goalies in the league behind us that we can fall back on. So there's a lot of positives going forward. And that's even with, you're going to be adding Gabe Vilardi. Who knows what's going to happen with Ville Heinola. I think now at this point, you can assume that he's probably going to start off in the AHL, even with that strong preseason that he had, where he probably would, or he would have been in the starting lineup come game time if he was healthy. But just having that, and who knows, maybe that becomes one of your trade deadline acquisitions, in air quotes, that helps the team a little bit. And then it makes you not have to go out and spend assets on another guy. It's like your own, it's an own house addition to the team. So I think that there's a lot to look forward to. And I think that this team is only going to get, I've knock on wood, but I think this team can really only get better as the season goes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I hope it's not. I hope they make it another addition or two, even if Philly's ready to go and looking good. But yeah, I mean, that we talked about it a little bit last week. You know, like where does Vilardi slot into the lineup now when there's not an easy decision for that? And I'll be intrigued to see how they go, even if they give him a game or two on the fourth line just to kind of get acclimated, but just how they're going to rejig their, I mean, it's going to be the Ehlers, Perfetti, Namestnikov line. And it seems to me like the easiest move is to drop Vladdy down to the fourth line, even though he's played well above what a lot of us would have anticipated there. But it's always nice to get a big piece like that in, and you're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to fit him in here? Because everybody else is just rolling right now. I mean, you've got one of the best lines in hockey, and then the NHL's leading goal scorer on a different line. But I digress. I kind of joke a little bit. You can't stop Lowry, Niederreiter, or Appleton at this point. You just can only hope to contain them. So the Winnipeg Jets now will try to make it 7 wins in 8 games as they wrap up that homestand. Or no, the homestand's over. Never mind. FLA, that's right. I knew they were up against Tampa, but it's going to be... Ooh, man, it's too bad they don't play Thursday, Tice, because those 6 p.m. start times are an absolute delight, especially if you've got a couple of little ones. And I know you got to get up early in the mornings now. So, I mean, those 6 p.m. start times, that's like a gift from heaven. So the Jets will head into Tampa Bay to take on the Lightning before going up against the Panthers yet again in Paul Maurice's club. Just quickly a note on Tampa, Tice. You know, and you mentioned, like, I don't know about Colorado this year. Tampa, in my opinion, is very fortunate to be at the spot that they're in right now, which is 9-6-4 on the backs of 3 straight wins. I have not been impressed with the Lightning are, I mean, we'll see what happens when Vasilevsky's able to get back in, but they need him. They look outside of their top 2 or 3 guys, which are elite, don't get me wrong. But outside of that, Tampa is not imposing or scary whatsoever. Like, I'm very surprised at how poor the Bolts have been for the majority of the season.
Yeah, their depth is just, their forward depth really isn't that good. And Victor Hedman is still an elite defenseman, but he hasn't played like Victor Hedman for the past 2 seasons now. And that's very concerning if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. Is he going to bounce back, or he's taking a step back? Like, what is it? And if he is taking a step back, you need Mikhail Sergachev to kind of vault into another stratosphere to kind of mitigate that decline. So I don't know what happens there. And even like everyone kind of applauded them for locking up a lot of their core early on, but it's kind of like, we have no cap space for like the next 5 years. Like they have no cap space at all. And right now there's a lot of like, who do you move? Whoever you're moving is a vital contributor to this team right now.
Yeah. You can't, so you have no flexibility. You have no assets after the Jeannot trade. I get why they did it in a sense, because you have like, they take you to 3 Cup finals. Like I understand all that.
Yeah.
But it's just their top guys are still crazy. But it's also pretty wild in another sense too, to think that, you know, you look at who they've lost, and just the names off the top of my head, there's probably more, but like up front, Palat, Killorn, Gourd, Coleman, Goudreau, even Maroon and Perry as a fourth line, like that's half your forward core in a couple of years. Like that's brutal for any team to try to find a way to replace those guys. And they nailed the Hagel trade, to give him credit. The Jeannot one, that looks like a big time swing and a miss with the bases loaded there. But hey, 2 banners up in the rafters there. I think it makes it a little bit easier to swallow there. But I don't want to say it's a game the Jets should win, but it's pretty wild that like there's even a debate about that. It is not the same Tampa Bay team. And when they go up against the Lightning, I'll be intrigued to see. I mean, look, if you keep Kucherov and Point off the score sheet, it's going to be a Jets win. There's just no other way about it. But I'm going to be intrigued to see how much the Jets are going to be able to feast on the bottom 6 specifically of Tampa Bay, and really whoever's in net for the Bolts either. I mean, the Jets should be able to put a couple past them there. So, hey, stay out of the box. Their power play is still lethal, 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 lethal. So let's not try to test the PK in that one. You stay out of the box. I think the Jets are going to find a way to skate out of there with 2 points before heading out to take on the Panthers yet again, who continue to be impressive despite multiple injuries all over the place, although they're starting to get healthy. We'll see if any of their big guns come back on the back end by the time they take on the Jets on Friday night. Quickly, Tyson, before we wrap up the episode, let's take a look around the NHL. And to tie it back into Winnipeg, I'm kind of surprised. I feel like it's not getting as much play as it is. But the Patrick Laine scratch in Columbus is absolutely shocking. Not that he's been otherworldly good this year, but Columbus is turning into a bit of a clown show right now. And you've got, Laine scratch, Gaudreau getting benched all over the place, not playing much. The youngsters aren't progressing all that much. Vincent, as a first-time coach, does he totally know what he's doing right? Like, all that stuff. What was your first thought when you saw that Laine was getting the scratch against Philly on Sunday?
My first thought was that this team is expletive. that there is, like, what they've done the last couple of years is very, very mind-blowing. And I don't get how Jarmo Kekalainen has been able to have this sort of job security with so little success. Like, I get that he's made kind of bold moves that have kind of shifted some paradigm shifts in the NHL when it comes in regards to going all in at the deadline, but how did that work out for him, right? Like, they lost Panarin and Bobrovsky and have nothing to show for it, and traded assets for Duchesne, nothing to show for it. You bring in Gaudreau, you have Laine, and you just refuse to play them with any center that's offensively inclined. Like, you have, at this point now, with how the season's gone too, the fact that you don't have Adam Fantilli, Patrick Laine, and Johnny Gaudreau just playing almost 20 minutes a night is crazy. Like, you have to at this point. Like, there's no reason why Cole Sillinger, who is a decent young player, he's just a decent young player, though. He should not be up there. Why are we throwing Patrick Laine at center when he's never been a great defensive player in his own end? These things just don't make sense. And then not to mention with Jarmo again, you go out and make these two big D acquisitions, and Ivan Provorov is not a very good hockey player, or at least he is very overrated. I think this year, I think people are starting to realize now that he kind of, his pedigree is a little bit higher than his actual play, because he is not a top two. He might not even be a top three defenseman. He's just a guy who can make a couple plays, but he's going to cost you a couple times in your own end too. And there's not a lot to look forward to. They don't have a lot of cap space either somehow, which is another mind-blowing part of it. Like, how do you not have at least a little bit of flexibility going forward? And I don't know where this team goes, and they're kind of just draining Laine's value too at this point. So whatever they get in a trade for him probably isn't going to be fair value. So, you know, like, where do you go? Jarmo Kekalainen has to be fired before the trade deadline, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's where this is going, Tice, is it's a house cleaning in Columbus, and it's going to start up at the top there. So, I mean, like, that's where it starts, and it's just going to get ugly. And it's too bad, because Columbus is a great sports town, and the Jackets just, they haven't delivered to the level of how good of a fan base it actually is. And I'm intrigued to see what happened. Like, Vincent was given the label of a player's coach, and he's kind of been the hard ass in Columbus so far. And he might know Patty better than a lot of people. So maybe he's pulling a string or two that he thinks is ultimately going to help the guy out. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They haven't put a lot of their guys in a position to succeed right now. And I was never a believer in the Laine at center experiment. It hasn't worked quickly, and his game has kind of deteriorated as a result of that. Might just be time, like, yeah, maybe like, it's, you almost need a bye week in Columbus right now. Like, hey, let's take 4 or 5 days off and then regroup after that. So we'll see how it plays out there. We got to wrap it up quickly here, Tyson. Sorry, Tyson. We got to wrap it up just because I can hear the little one upstairs having a little meltdown. So we're going to cap the episode there, and we'll get back at it to wrap up the week on Friday morning. Until then, though, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. We'll talk on Friday morning, American Thanksgiving, where the Jets stand, what that means, and breaking down that game against the Lightning. Talk to you guys on Friday. Peace.